Today's Homespun C-SPAN continues a series on Low Power FM, whose acronym is LPFM, specifically the hearings in the U.S. House of Representatives Subcommittee on Communications, Technology, and the Internet. These hearings are considering three bills, one of which is a bill that is currently a resolution that would bring back much of the original LPFM plan, H.R. 1147. The greatest significance of H.R. 1147, the Local Community Radio Act of 2009, is that it would put back into place the ability of LPFM stations to use what is called the third adjacent channel. This would enable WRIR to choose options that could effectively double the range in some directions that you can hear WRIR in a good car radio, and enable thousands of little WRIRs to sprout up in urban areas across America. The resolution in this segment is H.R. 1133, the Family Telephone Connection Protection Act of 2009, that addresses the egregiously high cost of collect calls prisoners or their families must pay in order for the prisoners to be able to call their families. These connections are vital to the rehabilitation of prisoners, so we don't have to suffer more crime and expensive jails, and they don't have to suffer going back to prison. Here is Congressman Russian Butterfield discussing H.R. 1133, Family Telephone Connection Protection Act of 2009, which discusses the up to five times normal phone rates that prisoners must pay to speak with their family, and then the testimony of guest speakers.
The gentleman from Illinois, Mr. Rush, chairman of the Subcommittee on Consumer Protection, is recognized for 2 minutes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really am delighted to be here, and I'm also delighted not to have to participate in the previous discussion. The Blackhawks have been out of the, have been low power for a long time now. So, Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you for holding today's hearing on these important bills. I would like to limit my limited time on the remarks on H.R. 1133. I introduced this bill with the sincerest concerns for those innocent families and close friends of those individuals who are find themselves incarcerated in our jails and prisons. Like you and me, they are telephone services consumers, having the same needs when it comes to hearing their loved ones' voices and maintaining their regular order, regular contact with families. With their families, just as you and I are and many in this room are. Their personal lives, their households, and their budget affairs are complicated by having to choose between accepting a collect phone call from a loved one in prison, which can cost up to five times as much as the same call that you and I would have to make. They have to live with the real-life consequences of that choice, which could mean missing a car, a rent, or a mortgage payment, or not having enough money to buy groceries. There are typically three ways that an inmate that can make and complete a telephone call in most state and county correctional institutions, either collect, prepaid collect, or prepaid by the inmate, which in most cases is paid indirectly by the inmate's family through deposits into their prison debit accounts. For collect calls, the bill party is usually charged a billing cost recovery fee of several dollars for each month that that collect call charges are made. On prepaid collect accounts, the inmate telephone services provider collects a fee, usually between $5 and $10, in order to process credit card and check payments over the phone. And for prepaid inmate calls, inmate telephone services providers charge in their neighborhood of $1 for each completed intrastate telephone call. Mr. Chairman, it's patently unfair that family and friends of incarcerated individuals should have to pay these inflated amounts. Revenue sharing agreements entered into by inmate telephone service providers and the correctional authorities they service are the primary cause for this egregious disparity. Some states are collecting commissions from providers of inmate telephone services at rates that are as high as 40% to 65% of gross billed inmate telephone revenues. These commissions continue to have the effect of substantially inflating rates for collect, prepaid, collect, and debit interstate and interstate telephone calls. Simply put, they represent a pass-through of costs from the correctional facilities and jails to the inmates and his or her families. Accordingly, and most notably, my bill, H.R. 1133, focuses on these commission arrangements. It would prohibit the payment of commissions to administrators of correctional institutions and Department of Corrections. It would also require the FCC to promulgate rules that ensure interstate rates for calls that incarcerated individuals make while in confinement are just, reasonable, and non-discriminatory. Finally, it would require providers of inmate telephone services to offer both collect calling and debit account services, which is a cheaper option according to pay telephone service providers because it mitigates the risk of bad debt associated with collect calling. Mr. Chairman, I would like to thank you for holding this hearing, and I ask I'm glad to have the witnesses here to testify on behalf of my bill. Thank you, and I yield back the balance of my time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rush. The gentleman from North Carolina, Mr. Butterfield, is recognized for 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for convening this hearing, and I particularly want to thank Chairman Rush for introducing this legislation. This is not the first Congress in which he's introduced this bill. He's done it in Congress's past, and I thank him for his sensitivity to this issue. As most of you know, I served as a trial judge in my state for many years before coming to Congress. I sat on the highest trial bench in my state and presided over felony cases and very serious crimes. As a consequence of my work, there were many people that I had the unfortunate and unpleasant task of incarcerating. But I want to tell you from personal experience that the telephone system between the jails and the prisons and communities is really in need of revamping. It would break my heart when mothers and grandmothers and family members would call me from time to time and tell me that these are poor people who would have $300 and $400 telephone bills because their loved ones would call collect from the jail. And what does a grandmother say when her grandchild is calling her collect from the jail? The only thing she knows to do is to accept the charges. And so this legislation that we have before us today is certainly a step in the right direction. It is not the ideal legislation. I wish we could do more. I've always said that one remedy for the problem would be to create a debit card, just like we have here in the cafeteria. Whenever I want to go get a meal, I go downstairs and I put this debit card in and I get my meal. We could do this in the jails and make it very effective. The other thing that we could do would be have cell phones in the prisons and in the jails that would be controlled, not unlimited cell phones. But the prisoners could get cell phones for 30 minutes a day and use those cell phones. And at the conclusion of the call, they could turn in the cell phones and they could be locked up and kept away from the prisoners. So thank you, Mr. Rush. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for having this hearing today. This is a step in the right direction. I yield back.
Thank you very much, Mr. Butterfield. We turn now to our panel of witnesses and again thank each of them for their attendance here this morning.
You just heard Congresspersons Doyle, Rush, and Butterfield discussing the right to communicate as part of the hearings on H.R. 1147, the Local Community Radio Act of 2009, and then, since these hearings are considering three resolutions, then on H.R. 1133, the Family Telephone Connection Protection Act of 2009, discussing the up to 5 times normal phone rates that prison inmates and families must pay to speak. Next up are the testimony of the guest speakers.
Mr. Frank Crow is an attorney with the firm of Morrison & Foster, representing Citizens United for the Rehabilitation of Errants. Mr. Curtis Hopfinger is Director of Government and Regulatory Affairs at Securus Technologies. Mr. David Goad is the Sheriff of Allegheny County, Maryland, and President of the National Sheriff's Association. And each of those witnesses will be testifying with respect to H.R. 1133, the Family Telephone Connection Protection Act. And Mr. Crow will be pleased to begin with you.
Thank you for this opportunity to testify. I am Frank Crow, an attorney with the firm of Morrison & Foster, which represents the Washington Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Urban Affairs in a proceeding before the Federal Communications Commission addressing prison inmates long-distance telephone service rates. We've also been coordinating closely in that proceeding with Citizens United for the Rehabilitation of Errants, or CURE. Charlie and Pauline Sullivan, the co-directors of CURE, are here with me today, and they've asked me to testify in support of H.R. 1133, the Family Telephone Connection Protection Act of 2009. On behalf of CURE, I want to thank Subcommittee Chairman Boucher and Congressman Rush, the sponsor of H.R. 1133, for their leadership in trying to solve this problem of unaffordable inmate telephone rates. The long-distance telephone rates charged to prison inmates and their families are exorbitant and make it harder for inmates to maintain the critical family and community connections that are needed for their rehabilitation. H.R. 1133 would ensure that the FCC addresses this issue forcefully. As Chairman Boucher and Congressman Rush explained, prison inmates and their families pay some of the highest long-distance rates in the country. The problem arises from the bidding process to win these exclusive service contracts. The competing service providers generally are expected to offer generous commissions to the prison administrator or state correctional agency or the Treasury for the right to provide the exclusive service to the facilities or the prison system. The winning bidder is typically the service provider that offers the highest commission payment, not the lowest service rate. So then the winning bidder then has to charge excessive rates for the inmate calls in order to cover these huge commission payments of 40 to 65%. As a result, you've got these tremendous collect call charges, often as high as $3.95 for a service charge, plus a per-minute charge of 89 cents. And I've even seen inmate collect rates of $4.28 plus 98 cents a minute, as opposed to the typical rate available to residential subscribers or calling card customers of a few pennies per minute. At current rates, 1 hour of conversation a week can run up a monthly phone bill of $300, which is a huge financial burden for the innocent families, low-income families, and loved ones receiving and paying for inmate collect calls. These rates deprive inmates and their family members of their most reasonable means, sometimes the only possible means, of communication and strain the family and community rehabilitative ties that reduce recidivism, preserve families, and ease prison tensions. The need to act on this issue has become widely recognized. The American Bar Association, the American Correctional Association, and a report released in 2006 by a diverse National Prison Reform Commission, which included correctional officials, all recommend that inmate telephone rates be drastically reduced in order to reinforce family and community ties. Now, as Congressman Stearns pointed out, in some cases this revenue, commission revenue, is used for prison welfare program, prisoner welfare programs, but that cannot justify the charging of unreasonable rates. You can't violate federal law on the grounds that the profit is going to charitable purposes. This is a regressive tax on some of the poorest people in America. This also means that these programs, these prisoner welfare programs, are not free at all. They're being fully funded right now by the prisoners and their families. Those families and prisoners should have a choice of having fewer programs and more communication. I think if you gave them that choice, they'd choose more reasonable rate telephone rates so that they could communicate more. That choice, they should not be deprived of that choice through a regressive tax on their telephone calls. Now, H.R. 1133 confirms the need to reduce inmate telephone rates and would require that the FCC consider imposing maximum interstate inmate calling rates, a requirement that inmate telephone service providers offer a debit calling option, which is cheaper than and lower cost than collect calling, and a prohibition of commission payments. The ABA has endorsed the proposed legislation, as have leading newspapers. Some of the remedies specified in H.R. 1133 are also proposed in the pending FCC petition filed by Martha Wright, the grandmother of a former prisoner, and other petitioners. The Wright petitioners have demonstrated that it's entirely feasible for interstate long-distance telephone services to be provided profitably to prisoners at rates far below those prevailing at most prison facilities. For example, interstate inmate long-distance rates in Florida, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, and New York correctional facilities are way below typical interstate inmate rates. Before New York eliminated its 57.5% commission rate in 2007, the interstate collect rate for prisoners in New York correctional facilities was 16 cents a minute plus a $3 connection charge, which is equivalent to 41 cents a minute for a 12-minute call. Now, with no commission payment, the rate is 6.8 cents per minute plus a $1.28 connection charge, which is equivalent to 17.5 cents a minute for a 12-minute call. Michigan previously had an interstate rate equivalent to $1.16 per minute for a 15-minute collect or debit call. Now the debit and collect rates are 12 cents and 15 cents per minute, respectively, with no per-call charge. So it's quite possible to have much lower rates and have the service provided at a profit, which service providers are quite eager to do.
Mr. Right Crow, let me ask if you could wrap up. Your time has expired.
I think that H.R. 1133 would ensure that the FCC consider the remedies proposed in the by the right petitioners at the FCC and reaffirms the FCC's authority to impose those remedies. The bill would therefore help bring about prison inmate telephone service reform and CURE urges its swift passage.
Thank you for your time.
I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Hopfinger.
Good morning, Chairman Boucher and members of the committee. Thank you for inviting me to speak here today regarding inmate telecommunications and H.R. 1133. My name is Kurt Hopfinger, and I'm the Director of Regulatory and Government Affairs for Securus Technologies. Securus is a Dallas, Texas-based company that provides inmate telecommunications through our wholly owned subsidiaries to correctional institutions in 44 states. We serve approximately 2,600 locations that include county, city, and state-operated facilities. In addition, Securus is one of the leading providers and patent holders of technologies necessary to provide robust, reliable, and above all, secure inmate telecommunications. My remarks will be brief. My aim is to provide the committee with further context and information regarding this highly specialized industry and the role that inmate telephone communications providers play in assisting law enforcement in meeting the demands in the correctional setting. Today, Securus is in a highly competitive industry. Today, we compete with numerous providers of inmate telecommunications services for contracts with correctional authorities that are put out for public bid. It is not uncommon for as many as 8 different correctional service providers to bid for the same contract. This bidding process, which is governed by the procurement codes and regulations applicable to the area in which the correctional facility is located, forces all participants to present their very best menu of technologies, security features, and above all, telephone call prices in order to secure a contract. As many law enforcement officials have explained to the FCC and elsewhere, the inmate telephone system is a critical tool for maintaining security both inside and outside the correctional environment. Today, our industry provides law enforcement with a greater choice and quality of investigative tools than ever before. I will provide just one example of how inmate telephone systems have assisted law enforcement officials in preventing crime and protecting the public. My written testimony has another. This example comes from one of our counties that is served by Securus Technologies. Grant County has informed us that the Federal Bureau of Investigation routinely listens to the recordings of Grant County inmate calls to assist in finding Al-Qaeda terrorist cells. Thus, even at the county level, secure inmate calling platforms are providing the necessary tools for assisting in preserving homeland security. All of the features and services I've described above, of course, come at a cost. In this specialized corner of the telecommunications industry, those costs are large in absolute figures and also in terms of the proportion of revenue that these costs represent. The requirement to provide customized products to law enforcement and correctional institutions causes inmate telephone service providers to incur substantial costs. In addition, it prevents our industry from enjoying the real economies of scale like local exchange companies and long-distance companies that serve the general public. I am pleased to tell you that in 2007, Securus began deploying a system called the Secure Call Platform, or SCP, which is a centralized system that requires less reliance on hardware and software at the correctional facility itself. Now that SCP has been deployed, our network efficiencies have improved and our calling rates have decreased significantly at several locations. I must, however, make it clear that SCP is neither appropriate or feasible at all correctional facilities. The multi-million dollar investment by Securus that made this new technology possible is, however, indicative of the fact that the industry is competitive and that law enforcement, inmates, and families of inmates are, in fact, reaping the benefits. Having given you this brief background on inmate telephones and how they work and are deployed, I'd like to say a few words about H.R. 1133. Securus is concerned that H.R. 1133 will have the unintended consequences of hindering competition, compromising security, and actually decreasing the availability of telephone service for inmates. In brief, this legislation would make it more difficult for Securus and all inmate telephone service providers to compete, to innovate, and to even maintain their existence in the inmate telephone service market. First, the legislation would require the FCC to set a federal rate cap. Securus is concerned that a federal rate cap would inevitably impose below-cost rates for some facility locations and certainly for facility locations in high-cost areas. In addition, a mandatory rate cap could leave such a slender margin of return that for many contracts, few service providers could risk putting in a bid. Second, the legislation would impose facility-based competition at the individual facility sites. This mandatory unbundling could require installation and maintenance of two or more redundant inmate calling platforms at every facility. This multi-provider scheme would lead to a host of administrative and security problems. In addition, it would increase the cost to the service providers and the facilities themselves. These increased costs would have to be recovered by those paying for inmate telephone calls. Third, the legislation would require an inmate telephone service provider to complete calls to persons regardless of whether the provider has any billing agreement with the called party or the called party's local carrier. I assure the committee that Securus and the industry as a whole are making great efforts to establish billing relationships with called parties, whether through their local resident, local exchange carrier, or via billing arrangements directly with the called parties. A federal mandate requiring the completion of all inmate calls, however, will discourage both inmates and called parties from allowing Securus to set up billing relationships with them. The result would be an unprecedented situation in which a telephone company is forced to give away service for free.
Thank you, Mr. Hopfinger. Your time has expired. Sheriff Goad.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman Boucher, Ranking Member Stearns, and member of the committee. My name is David A. Goad, and I'm currently the Sheriff of Allegheny County, Maryland, and President of the National Sheriff Association. The National Sheriff Association represents 3,000 elected sheriffs across the country and more than 20,000 law enforcement professionals, making this one of the largest law enforcement associations in the nation. I'm pleased to have the opportunity to appear before you today to discuss our strong opposition to H.R. 1133, the Family Telephone Connection Protection Act 2009, and the negative and potential dangerous effect this legislation may have on jails and prisons throughout the United States. As you may be aware, sheriffs play a unique role in the criminal justice system. Over 99% of the sheriffs are elected and oftentimes serve as the chief law enforcement officer of their respective counties. In addition to providing traditional policing within their respective counties, sheriffs also manage local jails and provide court security. Consequently, we have a keen understanding of the needs of the criminal justice system as well as our local communities we serve. Currently, over 80% of the nation's local jails are under the jurisdiction of sheriffs. While operating our nation's jails, sheriffs must process thousands of arrests
are responsible for detaining tens of thousands of inmates nationwide on any given day. The amount of time, effort, resources, and funding necessary to manage these jails is quite substantial. Furthermore, sheriffs need to work with the knowledge that the safety of the public as well as their deputies is always guarded and held in the highest priority. Therefore, it is necessary for sheriffs to have control over and to be have the ability to monitor the activities that transpire within our jails, including the communication that inmates have with their connections outside of the facility. Family Telephone Connection Protection Act of 2009 would alter a jail inmate telephone service procedures and amend the Communications Act of 1934 to require the FCC to prescribe rules regulating inmate telephone service. While the bill requires that these regulations do not jeopardize legitimate security and penological interests, it indicates that a reduction or elimination of revenue derived by corrections institutions with the receipt of commissions does not constitute jeopardizing or affecting legitimate security standards or penological interests. H.R. 1133 also indicates that no provider of inmate telephone services may block or refuse to carry a call placed by an inmate on the grounds that the provider has no contractual or other arrangement with the local carrier servicing the call recipient. The National Sheriff's Association believes that this legislation would severely hamper the ability of all the sheriffs and law enforcement officials to effectively manage our nation's jails. Under H.R. 1133, correctional institutions would be required to provide inmates with a choice of carriers while placing telephone calls. This proposal would amount to nothing less than the complete dismantling of an existing system of inmate phone service. Under the current system, one inmate phone service provider is contractually committed to monitoring and, of course, control inmate calling for security and law enforcement purposes. Carrier choice would cause the facility to lose control over the monitoring and tracking of inmate calling, which frequently results in criminal activity and massive fraud. Moreover, carrier choice would severely hamper the provider's ability to assist law enforcement officials with ongoing criminal investigations and, of course, to monitor the phone calls of suspected terrorists. These are dangerous individuals who will continue to conduct criminal activities and operations on the outside via phone while they're incarcerated in our local facility. Such activities could also include threats against any testifying witness or against any law enforcement personnel and their families. Consequently, the inability to monitor such calls could have a detrimental and potentially deadly impact. It could place unsuspecting individuals in danger and could prevent witnesses from coming forward to testify. Therefore, sheriff's ability to easily and effectively monitor inmate telephone calls not only assists law enforcement in criminal investigations, but significantly reduces the harm to law-abiding citizens throughout the community. During the 110th Congress and the current 111th Congress, there has been strong emphasis on rehabilitating incarcerated offenders and ensuring their successful reentries into society. Local jails are attempting these efforts, however, as sheriff's office budgets have been significantly reduced or tightened in recent years. Sheriffs have been unable to utilize funding from anything other than personal or necessary equipment and technology. Therefore, sheriffs rely on various services, such as inmate telephone commissions, to bring in revenue to fund and operate jailhouse treatment, rehabilitation, and reentry programs. I would like to interject a few examples, such as in the state of Maryland, which has this revenue advantage. As correctional administrators, we realize a significant funding loss. My facility, which is a 225-bed facility in Western Maryland, realized approximately $64,000 a year. Other facilities, such as Hartford County, $170,000, and Washington County in the state of Maryland, a deficit of approximately $134,000 in lost revenue. Funds generated from commissions on inmate telephones are not a source of income for correctional administrators, as we are only allowed to spend such funds on matters relating to inmate welfare, providing undergarments, socks, so on, for inmates, and so on. I would add that these commissions on phone calls are not unlike a sales tax. In this instance, the proceeds are entirely devoted to the betterment of the citizen population, and in this instance, it's our inmates. I further wish to state that cutting such funds would have a negative effect on inmates in every correctional facility across the United States. Sheriffs recognize that maintenance of communications with families is a positive influence on the inmates' integration back into the larger society after release. As such, the National Sheriff's Association endorses fair and reasonable rates for inmate calls and would expect all sheriffs to require service providers to adhere to FCC rate guidelines. Furthermore, the National Sheriff's Association continues to be an advocate for reentry initiatives proposed by Congress. However, we strongly oppose the proposals within H.R. 1133 as they would compromise public safety, put additional burdens on taxpayers, and force correctional institutions to eliminate reentry programs and access to telephone for inmates.
Sheriff Goad, thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity for being here today and expressing these interests.
Thank you, Sheriff Goad.
Thank you for listening to a very special series on Homespun C-SPAN today. You just listened to the hearings in the U.S. House of Representatives Subcommittee on Communication Technology and the Internet. These hearings are considering three bills, one of which is a bill that is currently a resolution that would bring back much of the original LPFM plan, that is H.R. 1147. The greatest significance of H.R. 1147, the Local Community Radio Act of 2009, is that it would put back into place the ability of LPFM stations to use what is called the third adjacent channel. This enables LPFM stations to locate in urban, high-density communities. That means that WRIR could choose options that would effectively double the range in some directions that you could hear WRIR on a good car radio. This also means that hundreds, if not thousands, of little WRIRs could sprout up in urban areas across America. You could contact your friends and family from all over the world to contact their congresspersons to become co-sponsors of House Resolution 1147, the Local Community Radio Act of 2009. That's H.R. 1147. This particular segment you heard today focused mostly on one of the three communications-related resolutions presented this day to Congress, H.R. 1133, the Family Telephone Connection Protection Act of 2009, discussing the up to five times normal phone rates that prison inmates must pay to speak to their family. These congressional hearings were recorded Thursday, June 11, 2009, in the Rayburn House Office Building.